This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a church community located in Aurora, Illinois, whose mission is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Visit us online at orchardvalleyonline.com. Well, in case you haven't figured it out by now, you are not in your mama's church. Wow. Man, if that doesn't get you going, I don't know what will, man. You might not even be alive right now. You just don't even know it yet. Wow. How's everybody doing today? Good. Are you guys glad to be here at the Orchard today? Huh? All right. Well, as you know, we're in the midst of a very exciting time here at the Orchard. You know, last weekend was the launch of our 2007 vision initiative called Making Noise. And so we've been making some noise these last couple of weekends. And of course, we devoted our time last weekend to doing two things. First of all, we took some time really just to celebrate all that God has done here over these last 12 months. And by the way, let me just say, if you missed last weekend, we want to give you a CD at no charge. You can pick it up at the information counter today after our gathering. So part of celebrating what God's done, what we did was we spent some time talking and really sharing the progress that we've made over these last 12 months. Everything from the number of people that we've had the opportunity to reach out to during our weekend gatherings, and also areas such as outreach, the number of people serving, baptisms, all of those things. And I just want to say that it was just a great joy, and it is a great joy to be able to stand up here and share with you that kind of report, that God has been doing some really exciting and awesome things here at the Orchard. Do you realize, and I think I shared a couple of these last weekend, but we had, over this last 12 months, over 20% increase in the amount of people we've been reaching on our weekend gatherings, a 25% increase in our weekly giving back to God, a 23% increase in how many people are engaged in giving over last year, 23%. I also shared a 100% increase in water baptism, huh? Is that awesome or what? You can clap, that's all right. I mean, the number of people who said, you know what, we want to go public about our faith in Jesus Christ, 100% increase, 180% increase in outreach, and how many people we had the opportunity to bless in a very tangible way during our Christmas outreach called Give a Blessing. This past year, we also saw over a 100% increase in our giving to missions. I mean, the bottom line is, look, guys, there was some serious noise made here through the Orchard community these last 12 months. And I'll tell you, since the Orchard is not a building, since it's not an institution, but rather it's a group of people, it's you and me, I mean, what that simply translates to is a pretty amazing story of how God was able to do some great things through his people over these last 12 months. And so we have so much to celebrate and to be thankful for. I mean, it really is, and I'll just say it's really an honor to be a part of this place called the Orchard. And I know so many of you feel that exact same way. And you know, over these past several weeks, even these last several months, as I've looked back over what God has done, and in fact, not just these past 12 months, but over these past few years, you know, it's really just another reminder to me of how God has always been about redeeming and increasing and expanding the influence of his people in this earth. I mean, that's really what God's been about, and that excites me because I think that for far too long, the church in general has really struggled with making the kind of impact that I believe God wants us to make. I think it's been a struggle, especially in terms of how we impact our communities and how we impact our culture. You know, I think far too often the church in general has found itself actually chasing after culture instead of really impacting and leading our culture. But can you imagine what would happen if we stopped chasing and trying to keep up with and actually started leading the way in our culture? Can you imagine the kind of impact that we could make? It'd be the kind of impact that I believe God wants for the church. And the thing is, it's not that unrealistic to even imagine this happening. In fact, if you go back to the 14th or 15th century, you know, you'll find that some of the greatest architecture, some of the greatest, you know, music and literature and painting and sculptures was birthed out of the church. I mean, the influence of the church was huge, and it truly was leading the way in some really important areas of our culture. And so anyway, I'm really asking God to make us that kind of community. Look, we're not responsible for any other church but the one we're a part of right here. And so I'm praying that God would just take the orchard and make us the kind of church that is actually not just trying to chase after or just trying to keep up with the culture, but one that is actually leading and influencing the culture around us. Don't you want to see that? I do. I believe that's what God has for us. And so I'm excited and I'm encouraged in a huge way by what we've seen happen over these last 12 months. I mean, it really has been significant. And you know, as I've been looking back and celebrating and thanking God for what he's done, there's been this one passage of scripture that's just been kind of hitting me over and over again. I want to share it with you this morning. It's found in Isaiah chapter 43. If you have your Bibles, we can turn there together. Isaiah chapter 43, interesting portion of scripture found in the Old Testament book of Isaiah. And to sort of help set the stage for what's going on here in Isaiah 43, in this chapter, what we have is basically God speaking to his people through the prophet, through a prophet. And throughout the chapter, God is offering his reassurance of his love and his care and his power that he promises his people. And in Isaiah 43, towards the end of the chapter, God really sort of goes an interesting direction with everything. Let me show you. Isaiah 43, verse 16, these are the words of the Lord to his people. He says, "I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves and they drowned. Their life snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick." It's almost like God's year in review, you know? It's kind of just a playback, sort of like the whole video thing we just saw. You know, I mean, just imagine, you know, you're one of his people and you're hearing this, you know, and you're sitting down and God is saying to you, "I made a dry path through the sea." And, you know, you're sitting there going, "Yeah, man, that was awesome. I heard about that. My dad told me about that." And then God says, "Okay, well, remember the Egyptians, huh? I mean, how they enslaved you and your people for generations and how I delivered you from that life of bondage and how I led you into the promised land. Do you remember that? And do you remember how they came after you? Remember how you guys went and how I miraculously opened up the sea so that you could get across? And it was just like this awesome miracle and you guys got across. And do you remember how they still came after you? Like they actually thought that I would leave it open for them. What were they thinking? And so they went after you, and I was like, no way, I'm not going to let you do that. So I was like, blah, 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 and the waters went back and just drowned them all out, the entire army. Do you remember that? Oh, yeah, God, I remember. I mean, I'm thinking, like, they're probably having church right about now. You know what I mean? I'm like, just picturing, like, the whole organ thing. Do you remember? You know what I mean? They're like, getting down in church, you know? "How I washed out the Egyptians." Hanky's waving. They're getting down. They're getting excited. There might even be some shouting going on, you know? Which is probably why it felt kind of strange to everyone when suddenly God said this in verse 18, "But forget all that." Forget all that. Okay, whoa, wait a minute. What in the world? God, forget all that? But why, God, why would you tell us to forget all that? And God says, because, verse 18, "It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I am about to do something new." He says, "It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I'm about to do something new." In other words, it's like God was saying, "Look, guys, you've seen a lot. Oh man, you've seen, I've been faithful to you, I've provided for you, I've done miracles, a lot of noise has been made, and we have a lot to celebrate, but there's more. There's more noise to be made, and what you've already seen, as great as that's been, is nothing compared to what's ahead." And I'll tell you, I really believe that God is saying the same thing to us here at the Orchard. That he is saying the same thing, that, hey, we've seen a lot of awesome things, and we have a lot to celebrate, and it'd be so easy for us just to kind of hang out in that celebration and say, "Well, that was great. Let's just camp out there for the next year." But there's more. And of course, the more not only means more people being reached or more ministry taking place. That more means that it's going to take more from all of us. That more means that it's going to take more from me. And it's going to take more from our leadership team and our staff and, of course, all of us as a community. It's going to take more. More commitment. More risk. More stretching and pulling and challenging. More sacrifice from all of us. And so that's what we're preparing to do over these next 12 months. We're preparing to take some steps of faith over this next year, and we're going to dream some God-sized dreams. We want to dream the kind of dreams that without God as a part of it, we just would downright fail. Because I think that that's the kind of dreaming God wants us to make and to have. The kind of dreams that if God doesn't intervene, if God's not a part of it, we would just absolutely fail. And I'll tell you, here's what I believe. I really believe that because we're willing to do what we've never done before, that God is going to use us in ways that he's never used us before. And you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results, right? Well, I think when we step out and we do something different, it changes things. Something different happens. And so I have to believe that if we're committed to believing and dreaming like we've never dreamt before and stepping out in faith like we've never stepped out in faith before, I have to believe that God's going to allow us to do some things we've never done before. So I'm excited about that. I'm telling you, these next 12 months are going to be significant for all of us here at the Orchard. Significant. If you heard last week and you remember that I laid out for you four specific areas over these next 12 months that we really want to make some noise in. And I know a lot of you were gone on spring break. Hope you had a great time with your families. We missed you. But I know hopefully you all received a letter in the mail this last week sort of sharing with you some of our plans, some of our objectives. But I wanted to run through these again with you today because it's really, really important to me that we are all on the same page and that it's very clear to all of us what we're going to be doing over these next 12 months. And you might remember last Sunday, the first area that we really feel like God's calling us to make some noise in over these next 12 months is in the area of our families. Everybody say families. Now, I'm telling you, without a doubt, God has opened up the doors for us to reach out to a lot of families. There's just no question about it, which means that we have to remain committed to creating irresistible environments for our families, which means our children, our everything from our babies, our children, all the way up to our teenagers, and of course, even those of us who are adults. And of course, like I mentioned last weekend, man, reaching children and teenagers is not as easy as it used to be. Man, things have changed. In case you've been living underground somewhere and you haven't popped your head out in a while, things are different now than they were 20 years ago. Man, when I was a kid, you could throw a blanket over a tree and have a puppet show and people get excited about that. Not anymore. Man, things have changed. I mean, and if you have kids, if you have teenagers, you know things have changed. I mean, the level alone of multimedia and technology that our kids and our teens are surrounded by every day of their lives is far beyond anything any of us has ever seen before. And so over these next 12 months, we're going to invest $30,000 above and beyond our budgeted expenses into our children and into our student environments here at the Orchard. And this investment is going to allow us to take these environments to the next level in so many areas, in areas like room and environment decor, areas such as multimedia, sound, lighting, technology. And I'm telling you, there is even somewhat of an urgency to all this because, in case you don't know this, we are already maxed out in our children's ministry. We don't have any room. And so there's some things we have to do fast. And so we've already, in fact, begun expanding. We've already begun spending money and adding additional rooms to accommodate all the growth that God's brought into our children's ministry. Is that exciting or what, huh? You guys can clap. I'm clapping. You all can sit there. I'm clapping. Man, so anyway, our goal is to invest $30,000 towards our children and student environments, and it's an exciting opportunity. These are the kind of problems you want to have, you know? Anyway, the second area we want to make some noise in over these next 12 months is actually in this room right here, our auditorium. And I'm not going to get too much into the details here. You can listen to last week's talk for that. But this will include things like we want to do a new house lighting system in this room. We want to do new skylight shades will allow us to change up our environment anytime we want in here. We're also planning on adding a third center screen right behind me along this wall that's going to give us the capabilities of doing some things that are just going to knock your socks off. Okay, I'm just going to tell you that right now, so you better wear two pair. Anyway, videos, man, the videos we do that you guys love and enjoy, almost all of them have been done on borrowed equipment, cameras, computers, software. So I'll tell you, it's time for us to make some investments in these areas and acquire the equipment that we need to begin producing even more excellent videos. A couple other things. We want to put some flat panel TV monitors out in our lobbies and in different places around the church to be able to be prepared and ready for the overflow and the people that God's bringing. We want to expand our stage lighting that will blow your mind. And I'm telling you, it's going to be good. And so that commitment, the lighting, the screens, the TV, the camera, the skylight shades, the editing equipment, our goal this year is to make an investment of $75,000 over these next 12 months in this area. And I'll tell you, even though $75,000 isn't actually that much money, those of you who know a lot about technology and media know that $75 goes fast. We believe we have a great plan that we're going to be able to make that a great step with that, and it'll get us started in the right direction. And I think you'll be amazed at what we can do with $75,000 in this room and in our media and technology. So anyway, we're excited about that. Two more areas. One of the things we know is that behind every great church is a great team of leaders and volunteers, and of course a great staff. Do you know we have a great staff here? Did you know that? Amen. Yeah. I'll tell you what, they make me look good. But we have a great staff. Currently, we have 5 full-time staff that work here at the church Monday through Friday. And as most of you know, our team works really hard at coaching and equipping. And I think that number now is about 250 leaders and volunteers here at the Orchard. I mean, I'm talking everything from production and media to children's ministry, student ministries, music, teaching, administrative tasks. Things you might not even think of, pastoral responsibilities such as weddings and funerals and trainings, and the list just could go on and on and on. The bottom line is it takes a lot of work to run a church. It takes a lot of work, and it is not just a Sunday thing. So don't you dare ask me if the only day I work is Sunday. I will karate chop you in half, okay? On Sunday, because that's the only day I really do things. Anyway. I generally pray between Monday and Saturday, 8 hours a day, 10 hours. Anyway, I'm just kidding. Anyway, so because of the growth we've experienced these past 2 or 3 years, we have some need to add on to our staff. There's some things we want to do in the area of small groups and in our connection environments and events that require leadership, require staff oversight and coaching. And then, of course, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes things that just a lot of people don't think about as church, administration and executive pastoral roles that we need to hire some people who are qualified and some experienced leaders to come on board and to help us with these areas. And here's something else I shared last weekend. Statistically, once a church reaches 70 to 80% capacity in any area, it will stop growing. 70 to 80%. And the fact is, we're actually there right now. In our children's ministry, we're there. We're beyond that. In fact, it's even happening more and more right now here in our auditorium. We're finding ourselves. So this fall, we're planning on launching a third worship service, which we're excited about. And then soon thereafter, our plan is to add a fourth service. And so do you realize it's possible that by this time next year, that we will have doubled the amount of worship services we're doing every weekend? Isn't that exciting? So we have a huge opportunity. Amen. And I'll tell you, on one hand, it's very exciting. On the other hand, we realize that the implications for all of us are huge, and significant. So that's another reason we realize we have to continue building our team. And to do that, to hire the staff that we need is going to take somewhere in the neighborhood of $120,000 over these next 12 months. And no, that's not just for one position. All right, anyway. Someone asked me last week, and I said, no. Anyway, lastly, let me talk to you about an area that I'm really excited about, and that's the area of missions. Global missions is what we call it, because, of course, we know and believe we have a responsibility here locally, and we have a responsibility globally. And our goal this year is to take every to take every dollar that comes in for our vision initiative and invest 10% of that directly into missions all over this world, which means we have an opportunity to take our support to the next level in places like Thailand, where we're connected and partnered with Jim Larson and his wife, who have a ministry, many of you know, reaching out to the sex trade industry there. Also, it means we get to help some friends establish group homes for rescued AIDS orphans in Mozambique, Africa. And so we have some really great opportunities, also a couple others that we're involved with as well. So we're excited about going to a whole new level in this year in our giving and in our support of missions. And our goal this year is $25,000 to world missions. And that would be such a huge jump over last year. And I have a feeling we're not even dreaming big enough with some of this stuff, but we'll just see what God does. Anyway, so let me review a couple of these areas real quick. Our family ministry goal this year is $30,000. Our auditorium / media technology, $75,000. Staffing and leadership, $120,000. And global missions, $25,000. And of course, that gives us a total goal this year of $250,000 above and beyond our annual budget. Now, let me just be really clear about this, okay? These figures that I'm showing you this morning are all above and beyond our normal operating budget that you see in the bulletin every week, okay? The budget numbers that you see in our bulletin are basically what's required to just simply operate as a church. We are not subsidized by any government agency. We're not subsidized by a denomination or anything like that. Everything we do here happens through your support and through your giving. Of course, in our budget, things like our mortgage. We have a mortgage payment every month of $24,000. And you thought yours was high. Maybe we should start like leasing out some of our rooms here. You can actually stay here. That's not a bad idea. Anyway, I feel like that sometimes, actually. Current staff, things like payroll. Those of you who are business owners, you know health insurance, medical, dental, those kind of things are very expensive, utilities, and all the stuff that you know that you have in your own home and your family, your business. And so these vision initiatives that we're focused on for these next 12 months are above and beyond all that. And I mentioned this last week, and I want to say it again. We're not doing this because we're hurting financially. Let me just be really clear about that. We're not raising this money because we're hurting financially. God has blessed us. We are outside of our mortgage payment, we are debt-free. We don't owe a dime to anyone. And so we don't have to do this. We're not doing this because you better give or we're going under. No. This is something we feel like God is calling us to go above and beyond and to increase and gain momentum in some of these areas. And so anyway, hitting this goal is going to require all of us going above and beyond our giving and our commitment this next year. So with all that said, last weekend I gave you a commitment card. And I asked you to begin praying and asking God what it would be that he would have you be a part of this next year financially here at the Orchard, above and beyond your regular giving. If you weren't here, hopefully you received one of the cards in the mail. And if you still didn't get one, we put one on the seat in front of you. So if you would grab one, we are going to make sure you all have those cards. But if you would you grab your card real quick? I just want to talk to you about this for a second. What we're simply really asking, and we're not going to stand up here and try to pull at your heartstrings. You know, we believe that the best thing we could do is just cast vision for what God's called us to do and trust that we're all going to respond how God wants us to. And so we're just simply asking all of us to give our best over these next 12 months. And I know that any time a church is asking for money, I know because I've fought it before too in churches I've been at, I know there's this feeling sometimes of, oh boy, you know, here we go, we better give or we're going to be made to feel bad. And let me just say, if that's how you feel, I would really rather you not give. Because here's the thing, I want this to be a great thing for you. I want this to be a positive experience in your life. And the Bible says when you give, it should be with a glad and cheerful heart, okay? Not with a frown, not with, just a frumpy attitude. I don't know where that came from, but frumpy, is that an attitude? Anyway. But seriously, you need to give with joy. You need to be able to give, and you need to be able to give and know that you're not just giving to support a church, okay? But you are giving, and you are making an investment in the thing that is most valued by God, and that is people. So this is not just about giving to a church. This is about investing in people's lives. And so you need to be able to commit and give with excitement in your heart, because this is another way, listen to me, this is another way that God is going to stretch and challenge and do something big in our lives. In fact, a few days ago, I received an email from one of our staff, and I actually forgot to ask them if I could read this, but I'm going to read it anyway. But a few days ago, I received an email from one of our staff. And by the way, let me just say, our entire staff is committed financially to our vision this year. Every one of our staff, every one of our leaders have made financial commitments, every one of them. Now, our staff, and I'll tell you, Amanda and I, we are committed. And we're taking a step of faith in our lives over these next 12 months to give financially. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to feel it. Oh, we're going to feel it. But hey, we're committed. And we feel like we have to feel it, man. If there's anybody here that has to feel it, we have to feel it. And so, but we're committed. Anyway, I received an email from one of our staff a few days ago, and I wanted to read part of it to you because it really, I think, painted a picture for me of how God is using all of this, not just to reach others, but to do something in our hearts. And so they wrote this email to me: Scott, here is our commitment card. Just wanted you to know from us that we've thought long and hard about this. We have cut a lot of things in our life so that we could do ministry. And it says, I guess what I'm saying is that we're excited about what God is going to do here. We're going to take a huge leap for us financially, probably the biggest leap we've ever taken, and it is going to be felt. We are confident, however, that God will remain faithful as he has in every step of faith we've ever taken. We are excited and feel it's a privilege and an honor to be a part of what God is doing here through this place and in this community and around this globe. Thank you for the opportunity to be stretched. And you need to know that you have a church staff here that believes in what we're doing, and they are committed. They're not just standing on the sidelines cheering you on. We're in the game with you, and we're on this journey with you because we know that this is going to change our lives as well. Anyway, I'll tell you, this email just hit the nail right in the head because this is exactly what this is. It's an opportunity to be stretched. See, look, don't doubt for a second that this is a very, very spiritual step for all of us. This is a very spiritual thing. And my hope is that when it comes to the commitment that you and I are making today, that it'll be a commitment that's going to require a step of faith on your part and on mine. I hope that you feel it. I hope that you are a little bit scared about making this commitment. I hope that that's the case. And I'll tell you, since I know we're all at different places in life, we're all at different places financially, we're all at different places in our spiritual journey, which means that a step of faith is going to look different for you than it looks for me. It's going to look different for everyone. It's going to be different. For some of us, that step of faith might be to make the decision, you know what, I've never been a part of giving towards a church. I'm just going to step out and start giving something. So I'm going to commit just to give, and I'm going to give what I can here. And you write that number down. You might be a little bit scared to do it, but you know that's the step of faith for you. For others, it might be the decision to say, you know what? I know it's time for me to step out and start tithing. I'm going to commit 10% of my income to the church, as the Bible teaches. I'm going to take that step. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to trust God. For others of you, it might be that you are already tithing and you're already giving regularly and it's going above and beyond that tithe or what's already being given. Here's the thing. Listen, regardless of how much each of us commit, okay, the important thing is that each of us are taking a step of faith in this commitment. And I'll tell you, a step of faith means stepping out and taking a little bit of a risk. Stepping out and saying, okay, God, I have no idea how we're going to do this. And I'm nervous, and my hand is shaking as I'm filling this card out, okay? But God, I believe that you will provide the finances to be able to do this. I mean, look, imagine, just for a second, imagine what could happen. And just for a second, okay, forget about all the people out there who we're going to reach because of this, but forget about that. Imagine what could happen in your life and in my life and in this church community if every single one of us made the decision that we're going to step out in faith. And you know what? Even if you're a teenager and you can only give a dollar a week or $5, whatever it might be, but because you've been involved and because you took a step of faith, can you imagine what God might do in our lives if every single one of us said, we're going to be involved no matter what. We're going to do something and we're going to take a step of faith. I have to believe that God would do something pretty incredible in our community, in our midst. I really believe that. And I know it's not easy. Man, I know it's not easy. Man, but look, stepping out in faith is never easy. That's why it's faith. If it's easy, it's not faith. If you can see it all and make sense of it all, you're not living in faith. You're living by sight. But faith is not living based on what you see or what just always makes sense up here. Faith is living by what God is saying to do right in here. And sometimes there is a huge conflict between what's going on here and what's going on here. Have you ever experienced that? Oh, I have, daily. You know, you're in your heart, you believe God said you need to do something, but your head is just giving you a fit. Your head is saying, what is the matter with you, you moron? You are going to mess everything up. You're going to make a fool out of yourself. You're going down. I know it's not easy because, see, here's the thing. We all like to know how it's going to all play out and happen. Well, let's see. Okay, I'm going to commit X amount, but I'm not going to commit much because what if maybe? What if we can't keep our commitment? Or, I mean, I've been there. I understand. Or you know, hell, let's see. If I'm going to commit X amount, that way we know we can do it. It's reachable. We know we can do it. Okay, and then if we can do more on top of that, then we'll just add it in later as a special kind of bonus type thing. And see, here's the thing. While our intent is good, and while we really want to do obey, while we really do want to obey God, I think we so often miss out on a huge opportunity to step out in faith and to commit and to trust God in a way that we've never trusted him before. We miss out because we want to feel the guarantee. We want to feel that and be able to see with our eyes that we can do this. But that is not a step of faith. And I'm telling you, the most exciting times in my life and in our family's life is when we've taken huge steps of faith and stepped out. And you know what? I'll tell you, man, God has always been faithful, always. And I'll tell you, I'm convinced that God would rather us make some mistakes because we step out in faith too much than to be people who are too afraid to ever step out and miss out on what God wants to do in us. And I can tell you that for me in my family, we want to learn to trust God in ways that we've never trusted him before. Man, I want to be able to look back a year from now or 2 years from now and say, you know what? God's really stretched us. We were able to trust him now for more than we were ever able to trust him before. I want my kids to learn that. And I want them to see that. But I also know that if I want to trust God like I've never trusted him before, that it's going to require me to take some risks and to step out in faith in ways and in areas of my life that I've never done before. See, we want more from God, don't we? We say, God, I want to learn to trust you more, but God's saying, okay, well then step out in faith. It's your turn. What are you waiting for? And I know I'm not alone. I would guess every single one of you here today would say, we want that too. Yes, we want to be people who trust God more than we did the year before. And of course, the encouraging part here is that God understands. He understands we're humans. He understands we have a real problem with faith, that we struggle with it. We're not the first ones to step out in faith and trust God. This isn't some new call for the orchard. I mean, this has been going on for thousands and thousands of years. In fact, the Bible's filled with people who God used to do some incredible things and who impacted this world all because they were willing to focus on a very important question, and the right question, I will say, and it's the same question that you and I are challenged to ask God, and it's this question: God, what do you want me to do? That's it. That's the question. God, what do you want me to do? I mean, when is the last time that you've prayed that prayer? God, what? Look, it's not easy to pray that. It's not easy to ask that because, see, we get so stuck trying to figure out the how, don't we? God, how? How can we do this? God, how is this ever going to happen? I mean, this is true for so many areas of our lives. Think about this for a second. I mean, you know, we get a glimpse of something we think God might want to do in our lives, or we get a glimpse of a direction that we think God might want us to take, and we start to see it, and we start to dream it. But then what happens? We get stuck. We get stuck on that. Well, how? How? God, how can this happen? I don't have the money to do this. I don't even know anyone in this field. I don't even have the education for this. I don't even have the, so God, how can I do it? And what happens is we get so caught up in trying to figure out the how that we end up letting go of the what. And then 2 years go by, and 5 years go by, and 10 years go by, and 20 years go by, and the next thing we know, we've lived our entire lives never fulfilling the dreams and aspirations that could have occurred had our focus been more on the what than the how. I'm telling you, this is good stuff. I hope you're writing this down. You better get the CD. listen to it over and over. Now, this is good. This isn't the gospel according to Scott Hodge here. This is the Bible. Man, I'll tell you what, I don't want this to happen. I don't want to end up 5 years from now, 10 years from now, looking back and saying, well, gosh, I mean, I wish we could have done that. Man, I don't want us as a church. I don't want you, any of you in your lives, to look back 5 years from now and go, man, I wish we would have had the guts to step out in faith and believe God. See, over and over in Scripture, we see this. Man, think about Mary, the mother of Jesus. I mean, here she is minding her own business one day, and an angel comes down. Hey, guess what? You're gonna give birth to the Savior of the world. Whoa. I mean, she's what does she say? How? I'm a virgin. How can I have a baby? And God basically reassures her and says, don't worry about the how. God will take care of the how. How about Abraham, huh? Abraham, Genesis chapter 6. See, we always think Abraham was like this big man of faith. And he was. He had faith, but, you know, we forget that he also struggled. And Abraham, Genesis chapter 17, you know, you've got God showing up to a 99-year-old man saying, hey, Abe, guess what? I'm going to make you a father of many nations. 99-year-old man. In fact, hey, I'm gonna give you millions of descendants. And you know what the Bible says Abraham did? He did what you and I would probably do too. He fell down. He stinking fell down. And then if that wasn't bad enough, God says, oh yeah, and your wife, Sarah, you know your wife, right? I think she's 90. Yeah, well, she's going to give birth to your son. There's so many jokes I could make right now, but I won't. But do you know what the Bible says Abraham did? Abraham, you know what he did? He laughed. He laughed. And you know what Sarah did when she heard about this? She laughed. What? Are you kidding me? I mean, I know I look pretty good and kind of sexy and everything, but I mean, look, I mean, even if Abraham could, you know, make it happen, I'm way too old. I'm holding back. 't those kind of drugs back then. Maybe I should say it again. You are not in your mama's church. That's our new slogan, The Orchard, not your mama's church. Anyway, so again, we see God out of his love and of his mercy reminding that, look, the only thing you need to worry about is what I want you to do. Let me worry about the how. And see, look, this is the kind of living God wants us to have, or the kind of life God wants us to live, a life that is more concerned about hearing and obeying than trying to figure out all the details of how God's going to come through and how he's going to make it happen. Don't get stuck on the how. Focus on the what. God, what do you want me to do? So if you have your bulletins, take them out. Write those two phrases down if you would. I ask what, God figures out how. I ask what? That's my job, is to ask what? God's job is to figure out how, right? God, what do you want me to do? And God figures out how. And so as we close out our time today, by taking that step of faith, I want you to take a moment. Maybe you've already come in today and you've already decided what you're going to commit over these next 12 months. But if you haven't, and in fact, actually, if you have even, I want all of us just to take a moment and just pause, and I want us to ask God that question. God, what do you want me to do? And then I want you to tell God, in your own way, just between you and him, I want you to tell God that you're going to trust him to work out the how. And I'll tell you, this week, I had to tell God that. I had to say, God, what do you want me to do? And I had to go out of my way to say, God, I'm going to trust you to work out the how behind it. So would you bow your heads with me just for a moment? Just take a moment. I'm not going to stretch this out real long, but I just want you to take a moment. Just ask that question. God, what is it you would have me to do? I want to step out in faith. I want to trust you. What do you want me to do? And then I want you to not only ask him what he wants you to do, but I want you to take a moment and I want you to say, God, I'm going to trust you for the how. I'm going to quit trying to figure it out myself. I'm going to trust you. There's two things I want to ask you to do today. First, I want to ask you to turn in your commitment card before you leave today, if you're prepared to do that. I hope you are. If not, that's all right. But if you would, before you turn it in, if you look on the seat in front of you, there's a white card. We want you to put that in the white card, okay? And again, let me be really clear about this, okay? The amount that I want you to indicate on the card is the amount that you're going to commit above and in addition to what you already give. Anything over and above. You can all look at me now. I'm sorry. I forgot to tell you. You were all still in deep prayer. I'm sorry. But I want you to write down above and beyond. That's what I want you to put on the card. So let's say, just for the sake of numbers, that you give currently, you already commit, you give $5,000 a year, let's say. And you're committing to do, for Vision, $300,000 this year. I don't know, just for the sake of numbers. Anyway, the amount that you will write on your card, it should be $300,000, not $305,000, because you already give five. We want to keep it separate. So write above and beyond. Now, the other thing I want to ask you to do, and I mentioned this last week, and if you're able to, I'd like you to give as much of your commitment up front today as possible. Now, if you weren't here last weekend, or if you're not prepared to do that, that's okay. We're going to have other opportunities here the next few weeks. But if you're able to give part of your commitment up front, and even a good size of that commitment up front, it will help us immensely to be able to get a head start on a lot of the things we want to do. And I want you to know, because I think it's important, that, again, Amanda and I have made our commitment. Our staff has made, in fact, our staff alone, just our staff and our leadership team, has already made a commitment of somewhere between $12,000 and $15,000, just as a staff and a leadership team. We've made that commitment. And I can't wait to stand up here a couple weeks from now and share with you how much we as a church family, as a church community, have said we're going to come together, we're going to make this happen. So if you would, fill out your commitment card. If you haven't already, put the amount on there you're committing to give above your regular giving. And then also, if you're able to give as much of that commitment today up front, we're going to give you the opportunity to do that. There's going to be welcome teams at the doors on your way out. And don't worry, if you're not prepared to commit today, they're not going to, you know, stand there and go like this or anything. You're all right. But if you would indicate on that white envelope, if you are going to give today part of your commitment, write it on that white envelope and put your check in there and write on under vision, this is how much you're going to commit this year. And does that make sense to everyone? Okay, that's encouraging. Anyway, when we dismiss in a few minutes, I want to give you, you're going to leave, we're going to sing a song before we go today, and we'd like to ask you to place those on your way out in the bags. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be an awesome year, guys. Are you guys excited about what's ahead this year? Amen. And I'm telling you, I know I went long today, don't worry, you'll still beat the Baptist to the buffet. I'm sorry. Anyway, there's a lot of noise to be made, not just that, but as we step out in faith, would you guys stand up with me this morning? As we step out in faith, as we believe big, I'm going to tell you something, guys. God is going to do something big. He's going to make some noise in your life. He's going to make some noise in mine. So let's get ready over these next 12 months to make some noise together. What do you guys say? Amen? Amen. Let's sing before we leave today.